evening. Everybody doing good? Hope so. Everybody's doing well. It's good to see you. Thankful that you come out tonight. Weather kind of changed back again with us a little bit, right? Go back a little bit warmer, a little nicer. The way we will like it, I guess. Trying to thaw from all the frozen stuff. We had this little issue out here that we're having to deal with here. Hopefully, all of you have been able to work through that. You would, let's bow in prayer. God our Father, we come before you thanking you for everything that you bless us with. We thank you for the time that we have with family during these times. And we ask you to please bless each family. Please bless those that are traveling and that they may travel back and forth safely. Thank you so much for the Ford family. It's your design. It's your plan. And because it is yours, it's what makes it good. All things good come from you. And we want to praise your name and magnify you and glorify you in all things that we do. Please bless and continue to bless the families that you have. We've got a lot of young people here, and we have some more to come. Please bless the ones that will be with us soon, that all will go well with them. Be with us that as we are older as well, God. We need you every hour of every day. And thank you for blessing us with your Son and his sacrifice. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to start out just a little different tonight. I want to see if I get you to talk to me a little bit. And what I thought I would like for us to, it's kind of outside the box a little bit. But I'd like for us to spend a few minutes sharing what you're thankful for. This year, specifically, something that you're thankful. We're drawn towards the end of this year and looking forward to another year, the Lord willing. So things that you can reflect on, something that you can think about that's on your heart that you're thankful for right now. I mean, you can talk.
Family.
Specifically, me.
This time of the year just, you know, lends to family being together, kind of pushing the pause button a lot, just being able to feed them.
So you got your brother beside you and sister on the other side, and then you got your little niece right there. So if you don't know, that's my granddaughter, Joanne. So what else?
My health.
Where did it come from? There we go. Your health. Thankful for your health.
There are so many in the hospital that are very, very sick, and I'm just thankful that I'm not one of them, and no one that I'm very close to, or no personally, is in the hospital at this time.
Yeah. Your health. And so that's very hard.
Yeah, I'm thankful for the unity here in this body of believers.
Yes.
The love that abounds. I mean, you know, this past year you've seen a lot of people here helping one another and reaching out to one another, doing a lot of good. There's been a lot of new things that people have taken the lead on, and just the unity that abounds right now. And I'm very thankful for that. I see it every day.
Thankful for the unity that we see. That it abounds, because you know, this not always is, do we always have the good health, so we reach out to those that need, and each one, you know, all of us in our life needs help from time to time. But there comes about time when we all need help, and that we have that family, as we've mentioned, some of the lessons about having that family. Someone else.
Answer prayer. answer prayers. You have a specific?
For help.
Help. Answer prayers for help. God answered prayers.
I'm thankful that I was born in America to a Christian family.
Thankful for America built in a Christian family. That's great things, right? We live in a very blessed area. And most of us knew your parents and knew that you had very godly parents, so a lot to be thankful for. Anybody else?
I'm thankful for you and Jake and Steve and Mark and the leadership that y'all demonstrate here in this congregation. And I'll take that $20 after this. That you promised me if I would say that.
Seriously. Yeah, but you weren't supposed to tell that part.
The leadership that y'all give here at this congregation is
that's kind.
Is outstanding.
Thank you. Appreciate that. This is encouragement back there, always encouraging people. Yeah, thank you.
I love you.
Thank you. I always encourage. Anyone else?
I'm thankful that we decided to come to church here. I really like coming here. Everybody's nice and friendly and genuine. And it's just so good.
Yeah.
I'm thankful we decided to come
here. Someone else? Right, can get something out of you.
I'm thankful for her, the baby, the river.
They've got a new baby on the way.
Yeah. It's Christmas. Thankful Christmas is over. So
and tell me the new baby's name.
Adeline.
All right. We're all praying for that. But she's everything's good. Everything go well.
I'm thankful that I have the ability to provide for my family, to work and provide for my family.
Right. Yeah, to have to be able to provide and have those opportunities. Anybody else? You know, I just think it's does us good sometimes to just stop and recognize how blessed we are. You know, there's a lot of things that you can fuss about. And sometimes it's okay to fuss a little bit. But we have so much to be thankful for. So thank you for sharing. Now, anyone else that wants to say something, I'll give you a moment. Okay. Mark chapter 4. Verse 26. We're studying parables. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. This is a really short parable. Four verses. Mark is the only one that records this parable. This is where we'll begin. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night and gets up by day. And the seed sprouts and grows, how he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Says again, the kingdom of God. Matthew usually says the kingdom of heaven. And he's it's the only one that records it that way usually is the kingdom of heaven. But all refers to the kingdom of God. And we talked about, we've done the history last week, and I know sometimes the history can get kind of boring when you go back, but looking at the history is talking about the kingdom. So I want to begin, let's look at Luke chapter 13, verse 28, and get an idea of why we're talking about going back to the history and the idea of kingdom. Well, what does the word kingdom mean? Word kingdom means rule or reign. When you see the word kingdom, means rule or reign. So Luke chapter 13, verse 28, it says, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. The rule of God was always to be, God was always to be king, and his people would always be in his kingdom. Always. Remember, God told Samuel, said, they reject me as king. They reject me. They're not rejecting you. But, again, the Israelites wanted a king, and so they made David king. But we see here that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all in the kingdom. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, please. Somebody, if you would, please read.
For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves.
Okay, who is speaking? It'd be Paul, right? Paul is speaking. So this is actually talking about the present tense, correct? We've seen the past, Abraham, Isaac, in the kingdom. We've seen present tense, that here is Paul says he's rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 10 through 15. Somebody please read. Second Peter 1, verses 10 through 15.
Therefore, brothers, be all more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. Never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it is right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able to at any time to recall these things.
So future or eternal is the kingdom. We are to be found in the kingdom or the rule or reign of God. So someone asked me last week after class, which I appreciate questions, and I definitely don't know everything, but I thought it was a good question. What did I mean when I quoted partially the Lord's Prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. connecting the two. So I think an easy way to explain what I meant was, is for me to add a word. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, so that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In order to do God's will, you have to be in his kingdom. And I believe that was a connection that Christ was making at that time. Thy kingdom, he's saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The only way that God's will be done is if we are in the kingdom, going all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to present day with the Christians, and future for eternally is in God's kingdom, which Christ is making points again about the kingdom of heaven in a parable, because he's fighting that mentality of what was the Israelites slash actually becomes more Jews because of the lost tribes of Israel. I have some questions about that afterwards too, but mostly the only ones that went back to Jerusalem was that of Judah. The northern tribe did not. So the northern tribe, where it was dispersed by the Assyrians, they lost their identity. But the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, they held on to their identity. And so they're waiting for this kingdom upon earth. And Christ is, what we see is, we see a transition going on in his life. It starts out that everybody is really running to him saying, hey, this guy's great. But what we start to see in here is that now the crowd's starting to change because they're wanting a kingdom now. I want it now. And I believe that's what this parable speaks to. It says, I want it now. We want it now. We want our kingdom now. We don't want to wait. And so then we look at this parable of the seed. So again, let's read it once more, and let's go through it. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night and goes up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, and then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts the sickle because his harvest has come. So when you go to bed at night, and when somebody puts out seeds, you go to bed at night, what does that play a part into that seed? Going to bed at night have anything to do with that seed? Anything to do with that seed growing? It has nothing. Nothing. But what else goes on? It's not that simple, is it? What else goes on? Think about a farmer. When a farmer puts out seed, he sows his cotton fields. He sows his wheat fields. He goes to bed tonight. He can't change anything about that seed growing, correct? Is that the right answer? That's the right answer. He cannot. But what does he do? Or what potentially does he do? He prays for a good, yeah. What else can he do?
Turn it over to God.
Yes, and that's this one is to turn it over to God. But in reality, what happens a lot of times?
Worry about it.
Frets about it. So, you go to bed at night. She had nothing to do with that seed.
So again, there's things that the farmer can choose to do to enhance the ability of the seed to grow, and there's things that he can choose not to do that would limit that. In other words, what I'm trying to say is God expects us to do everything we can do. Jesus did the exact same thing. He made people do what they can do, and And then he helped them with things they couldn't do. And I think that's the same thing with us.
That's a good point. You actually got to the end of my point on this particular one, but that's good. That's good. You're right. That's exactly right. That's the downside of it. But ultimately, who's in control? You're right. That's a good comment. Great comment. Ultimately, who's in control?
God.
God's in control. So you go to bed at night. So there wasn't for them to worry about the kingdom. But the Jews didn't want to hear that. There was, as the crowd was, the people was changing, they were starting to incite. They was wanting to be rebellious. Kind of like we've seen in the last few years, that, you know, not happy with the government and the turmoil and all that going on. Well, that's what was happening among the Jews. And they didn't want to hear that, hey, we can't have our kingdom. We want our kingdom. And so Christ's message is, but Christ conceals because of what? God's timing. God's timing. When God wants things to be understood, it is when it's understood. When he said these things because they were blinded, because to your point, the different soils, how it was prepared, the Jews, the different, when we studied the parable of the sower, all the different hearts that was there, the hardened hearts and the shallow hearts, and the hearts that was crowded with all the different things, worries, and concerns. So they go to bed at night, and then it says, and it sprouts, and how he himself, he does not know. Or he does not, who really understands how sin works? Who really understands how that, you know, they can make synthetic seeds, but they don't grow. We don't really even understand. So, again, we don't really understand everything. I hope we don't think that we do understand everything about how God works. It says his ways are not our ways. There comes into that faith. There has to be that faith. It says in verse 28, the soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and then the mature grain in the head. What would that speak to? Think about how it's listed out. How it lists out. Talking about the kingdom and how is he's using this. And he said, first comes the blade, then the head. What does that speak to? A, B, C, D, E. What is that? That's design, correct? That shows that there's a design. There's a plan behind that design. That when you look at that, when you look at this small parable that Jesus is teaching, he's showing in this very few words that there's a design to all of it. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. Then verse 29 says, but when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. When that kingdom, again, go back, it says, so the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God, is like a man who casts a seed. It's like that. That kingdom is like that. And so it has design. It has a plan. It has a pattern. And so he's telling the people, be patient. Have patience. Mike.
One thing. Kent, too, also, I think about farmers when they're getting ready to harvest a crop. They go out and they check it. And the farmers nowadays do a moisture content on their corn before they combine it because it gets to a certain, if it's too wet, it'll mold, it'll ruin. If they want it at a certain moisture content, so they go out and they check it. And I think this is, and my Bible, my online Bible shows a reference to Revelation chapter 14 where it talks about taking the sickle to the grain. God's going to harvest the grain. I mean, the kingdom will be harvested or brought into the barns or back to God. Just like the farmer who goes out and checks that grain every day, and when it's perfectly ripe, then he's not going to tarry. He's going to harvest the grain and put it in his barns. And I think that's a reference to God is the one. He's the farmer. He gets to say when it's ripe, when it's ready, and then at that point it's over with.
Good point. So how long have these Jews been waiting for the kingdom? How long have they been waiting? Thousands of years. And he's still saying, be patient. Everything's within God's time. So he's saying, teaching patience. To your point now, let's look at Romans chapter 10. So I'm taking my $20 back until you read my notes. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Somebody please read.
For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Yes.
And they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Those that gladly received. Has to be somebody to plant, right? Look at 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. So what is the seed? So one a trick question.
Word of God.
Word of God. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2.
But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow in their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute.
So can the seed be altered? Yes. Revelation 22, verse 18.
I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll.
So back to the point that we're making about that, you know, God is in control. So a reaction could be to that impatience. Well, then I just throw up my hands and not do anything. That's the danger. But the scriptures let us plain that the word is true that says that there's a part, and not only that we sow the seed, we share God's word, that we make sure that we do not alter it or change it. Sometimes that happens to gain more people or be more pleasing to one person versus another. Any comments?
Ian.
Yes.
I'm sitting here thinking, reminiscing. I was raised on a farm. I had my daddy plant corn and cotton and all this stuff. And then I remember hearing my daddy say, come and tell my mom. I said, Ruth, I went outside. I saw the seeds coming up out of the ground.
faith.
I got two spirits watching the sea come up to that guy, you know.
Very good. Yeah, that, that opens your eyes, right? Okay, going back to Matthew chapter 13. Last week, as we after we studied a little more about the kingdom, and we looked at the parable of the sower, actually went through chapter 13, looking at different places, looking at verse 24, talks about the parable of the tares. Then 31, the parable of the mustard seed, and then the parable of the leaven. So that short little one verse parable ties in with this lesson that we've had, the parable of the leaven. And it says, he spoke another parable to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until it was all leavened. What is he saying? Again, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. What is he saying? Remember, they was wanting the timing. They said they want it now. They want it now. They want it now. Well, let's back up to verse 31. Maybe that'll help us. We'll look at the mustard seed as well. They presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than any other seeds, but when it's full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air and nest in its branches come and nest in its branches. Matthew and Mark are very similar on how they record the mustard seed. Luke is different. Luke mentions nothing about it being small. He only really speaks to the bird of the air and nest in its branches. So, for next week, see if you come up with why. Your thoughts on why that Luke does not talk about the tiny mustard seed, and yet Matthew and Mark do. Patience, 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 patience. Been 2,000 years since that, right? Patience. The kingdom will come in God's time. But we need to do our part. Any other comments? Anyone else have a comment? Thank you for listening.
Good evening and welcome to Florence Boulevard. If you're a visitor tonight, we count you as an honored guest. I'm glad that you're with us. If you are a visitor, we'd ask that you take out one of the cards from the pew in front of you, and on one side of that it has information for visitors to fill out. And if you're a regular member and you need something from our shepherds, if you would take that out and fill that out on that side and hand it to one of the elders at the end of the service, they'll be glad to take care of that for you. Please continue to pray for those who are sick, grieving, and shut in. If you brought food for the James family, your dishes are on the table in the fellowship hall kitchen. If you had not gone down this way, the hallway down this way towards the ladies' classroom and the World Bible, that hallway is closed, so you'll have to go around the other way if you're going down to the fellowship hall. We will not be hosting Room in the Inn this week, so that was a change of our itinerary. We will not be hosting Room in the Inn this week. We will pick up, I believe it's January the 12th. It's on a Thursday night as well. We'll be picking that up in January. Next Sunday, January the 8th, there will be an elders and deacons meeting at 3 o'clock, followed by a men's incorporation meeting at 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall. All men of the congregation are encouraged to attend. This is the yearly incorporation meeting that we have every year, so we ask that all men of the congregation be there at 4 o'clock for that. I do have a card here from Miss Dottie. It says, I want to thank all my church family for the food, cards, visits, and prayers during my downtime with my back. It's on the mend, but needs a little more time. In Christian love. Or thank you all, Dottie Pennington. That's all the announcements I have at this time. We'll begin our evening worship.
Before the devotional tonight, let's sing number 578. We will glorify.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before
your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'm a big fan of the book of Romans. I enjoy the book because I feel like it's one of those books, while it has some complexities to it, certainly it's one that really starts at the fundamental basics of Christianity, of what it means to live a Christ-centered life, and why we should even do that. And so as we kind of journey through the book, we start out in chapter 1 and we learn the very simplest of facts, that there is a God, there is a creator, and that there's really no excuse that we shouldn't know who that is. And as we progress through, we're introduced to the idea and the concept that we are sinners as human beings, that every one of us, in fact, sin and fall short of the glory of the glory of God. But there has been made a way to reconcile our sinful state with a perfect God. And Romans chapter 6 touches on the idea of grace and the gift of grace that God gives us in salvation through his Son. And it works on down here till we get to chapter 12, which is really really, I feel like the meat and potatoes, if you will, of what is going on here when we look at the Christian life. And there's just a couple things I'd like to highlight this evening. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And verse 2 is one we've heard all our lives. We think about not being conformed to the world. We know we're supposed to be a transformed people, but I think it's important that we finish that verse because it tells us how we're transformed. By the renewing of our mind, we may prove. Some versions say that by testing, all right? Tests are full of questions, that by digging into the scriptures and asking questions and learning more about what God's will is for our lives, that is how we become transformed. If you're afraid to ask questions, don't be afraid to ask questions. God can handle your questions. His perfect word can handle your questions. And by looking deeper into that, we become a transformed people. And so I think it's great as we get ready to go into a new year that we have a theme of being in the Word, that we have a goal to read through the Scriptures in 2023, because that, as Paul defines it, is exactly how we become the transformed people that we're called to be. And then I'd like to skip on down to verse 9. There's a little section of verses right here that's just, it's not groundbreaking in anybody here, but maybe a good middle of the week encouragement and reminder of who we are as God's people. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Some versions say outdo one another in showing honor. And think about what a world that would be. That's a challenge I think would be great for us to take as we leave this place, as we go out and do whatever it is we leave here and do, that we really try to outdo one another in showing honor. We live in a society, in a world that does the exact opposite of that. We try to outdo each other, but we do so in a competitive nature of wanting to top whatever somebody else did, wanting to make it look like we've done more impressive things, we've done this or that. But Paul says that competitive spirit is good, and God put that within us. Now let's use that by trying to outdo one another in showing honor. And while we're doing that, we're not slothful in business. We're fervent in spirit as we serve the Lord. Has your spirit grown a little dull? Has your desire, your motivation, has that grown a little dim? Does that need to be reevaluated as we go into a new year? Do not be slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord is why we were put on this planet, and it's the greatest business we can be about here. And verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope. Rejoice in hope. There's a lot of things in this world that can get us down, that really are tough to even think about, tough to even comprehend. And we can get lost in that if we're not careful. But Paul says, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. They're going to come. Some of us may be in the middle of tribulation right now, the trying times. Some of us may be in it right now. But if you're not experiencing it, you will experience it. Be patient in it. Be patient in it, and continuing instant in prayer. Be constant in prayer. Pray without ceasing. So what Paul also gave as an encouragement to the Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing. And as I was a kid growing up and hearing that, and even a young adult, I think, pray without stopping. Pray without, how is that even possible? It doesn't even really seem practical. And in and of the sense that we think of, stopping, folding our hands, bowing our heads, yeah, there's, that's impossible to do without ceasing. But the mindset and the attitude of prayer is something that can absolutely be constant in our lives today. How do we think about our situations we find ourselves in? Do we have that constant open line of communication with God? Is that something we keep open throughout the day, throughout our weeks? Or is it one of those things where we have that kind of shut off while we do our jobs, or while we go to school, or while we do whatever we do?
Is that something that's kind of shut off, and we'll open it up if we can, maybe before we go to bed, or maybe it's the first thing we do in the morning? Dedicated prayer time is great, but that line of communication between our thoughts, relaying that up to God, does not need to be closed. And so this is Paul's simple things that are really easy to understand, but not always the easiest to carry out and do. And so when we look at those words for an encouragement tonight, maybe you haven't even began your journey with Christ. We're talking about, you know, stuff that people in Christ do. And so if you're not in Christ, you haven't been baptized into Christ, I certainly beg you not to wait. And for those of us that are here that are, read through Romans 12. Go home tonight. Read the entirety of the chapter and ask ourselves a simple question. Does our life reflect that of the words that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12? Are we constantly trying to outdo one another in showing honor? Are we fervent in spirit? You know, do we have the zeal, the desire, the motivation to be the people God has called us to be? And are we constant in prayer like we've been asked to be? And so if that's not you tonight, come, let us help you. Let us pray for you as we stand together and sing.
Bring Christ your broken life, so mark my sin. He will create anew, make whole again. Your empty wasted years, He will restore, and your iniquities remember no more. Bring Him your every gift, if great or small, whatever troubles you.
Thank everyone for being here. Hope everybody gets home safely tonight. We'll meet again Sunday at 9 a.m. and we'll sing one verse of a closing song. We'll have a dismissal prayer. Sing the wondrous
love of Jesus. Sing His mercy.
Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, we're so thankful to you, Father, for the many blessings that we have. Lord, we're thankful for your kingdom. We're thankful, Father, that we're in it. And Lord, we're so thankful for this congregation here. And I pray, Father, your blessings on each of us as we leave here, that we are showing our light at all times, not just when we're here in these buildings and this wall, in between these walls, Lord, but you would bless us with courage, with boldness,
And most importantly, Father, that you would foster within us so much love that we just have to help others and that we have to share the gospel, that we can't contain it within us. I pray, Father, for the James family in this time. Thank you for loving us. Please forgive us when we fall short. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.